When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 2 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in this series in numerical order so that the whole received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
All right. I'm going to continue to try to explain a few of these things. We're going to get in the Word. We're going to stay there. We're going to see it in the Word. I came to a place where I saw a demonized church. Now, let me ask you again. Does that deserve a hearing? Let me put it another way. When demons get in, folks, there's a whole lot of deception going on. That's what falling away comes from. You start calling things different from what God calls them. You might have another Jesus besides this Jesus right here. And we'll see that that's exactly what we're warned about in the Word. That your heart will go after another Jesus and not the Jesus of this Word. This is serious, folks. This is heaven and hell. I mean, God is serious about His Word. Now, if the Spirit of God is speaking through me, He'll confirm it in your heart. And if this is from God, He'll confirm your heart. I told you otherwise, you don't receive it. Now, you're in liberty and freedom. Now, you're on a new subject. Things we've been intimidated and made fearful about talking about. Now, I'm going to stay on these powers of darkness a little bit to show how they operate and everything, but I'm headed for righteousness and holiness and discernment. See, that's something that kind of got left out. Righteousness, right, that's right in God's eyes. And holiness. And discernment. You see, there's not much to discern when you've explained everything away. Now, I won't turn to it, but it's on your notes there in Isaiah 65. It says, these people are rebellious. Now look at me. They walk in a way that's not good. Well, what is not good, Lord? They're led by their own thoughts. Well, everybody's led by the thoughts. You know, Hebrews teaches that your senses are sharp, discern good and evil. If you don't know the Word, and you're walking after the Spirit of God, you'll not discern. Discernment comes from the Lord. It's not how intellectual you are. It's a spiritual. Folks, where do you think those lust pictures come from that come to your mind? When I walked out of the flesh and I belonged to the devil, you know what? I acted like the devil. I enjoyed lust. That's where my heart was after the lust of the flesh. You don't have to lust. When that dart comes there, that's that fiery dart that Ephesians 6 taught, you put up a shield of faith, and that dart comes there, you've got one split second to shut it down. That's what you learn to do. You're not in covenant with Satan, with lust. Folks, let me ask you something. Where do you think those thoughts come from when you start to read your Bible? And you find some other things to do. Can I just go ahead and tell you that those powers of darkness can ring your doorbell and your telephone at the same time? They're in that control of people. I mean, you'd be amazed. And see, you know, say, well, he thinks they're talking about everything is demon. Let me tell you something. Is it all right if I say everything's demon if the Word says it's demons? Huh? So if he says everything's demon, I'm just not going to receive it. See, that's the way we've been. Because I'm so comfortable. Have you ever wondered where the devil was in all this? You say, well, you know, where is the devil? The devil when you're in agreement with it. Let me tell you something. You ever notice how your mind drifts when you your mind gets on all kind of things when you try to read the Word of God. Who do you think that's talking to you? You don't have that kind of problem when you read newspapers, do you? Nobody bothers you then, do they? It's not a whole lot of fun reading the Bible if you can't understand nothing. The Bible's made to understand, isn't it? Same thing when you start to go pray. Who do you think that hinders you? Who do you think that... Who do you think that makes it such a drudgery to talk to God Almighty and enter into the Holy and Holies? Who do you think that is? I'm learning that myself. Let me tell you something. Many of you shared your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to witness to others, haven't you? Well, let me tell you something about that war. It's a war every time you do it. Now, you've sit and looked people in the eyes, as I have, just person after person. You can share just 25 things right straight from the Word of God. And it's just, you know something maybe about the person's life, and you know it's the answer to everything you have. You know you've got the answer in Jesus, and you just explain them, just 25 things right there about the Lord. Facts! I mean, facts! And you wonder how they can resist receiving Jesus. And you look them right in the eye, and then some off-the-wall thing comes out of their mouth. They wouldn't hear what you said. They didn't hear nothing. They got some off-the-wall things, and you look them in the eye, you know they're not hearing you. You know why? Every time you go to witness, they witness too. Can you stand that? When you go to share in the Lord Jesus Christ, they fill in their mind with doubt and speculation. That's the most interesting thing about my family. When I get around my family, they believe me about everything until I start talking about spiritual things. They said, well, you know, this thing up there tells him he's already gone off the deep end, and I can't come and say, will you... can I show you what verse that is? And so, he just mixed up. See, it's just right here. So I went through a period of time for my part. I've just got a part. I'm not all of it. I went through a part when I saw the church demonized that the Lord began. Sometimes I go to bed, sleep for an hour, and he wake me up, and all night long he show you. You know, God can do that, can't you? Now, he can do it to you. He's no respecter of any people. He doesn't think any more be it does you. God is no respecter of any people. He doesn't. It's not for private interpretation. He doesn't show anybody anything he won't show you. I'm a lot of encouragement to folks. And a lot of discouragement, too, to some. Because... I saw the church, the Lord let me see it. If he had never let me see it, I never could have received it there. But see, it don't count if you see something, you don't see it here. If you don't see it right here, forget it. And that's what my part is. Is it all right for me to have a part? All right, I've got a part. Been prevailing in your life. As you start seeing these things and everything, you're going to start thinking about your family. You're going to start thinking about anything. I'm going to tell you why. The church today is not going to be able to walk with Jesus until it gets free. You're not going to walk with Jesus, forget it, until you get free, and you won't be free if you don't repent. You're going to change in your heart right here. And I'm going to tell you what. Like Brother James, if we get about this thing, you know, getting a whole lot of information right here and then eat the menu. It's something to walk in. We're to be a light. We get some light, we don't stick it down somebody's throat. Let them see something in our life they want. Isn't that right? Okay. So the thoughts, folks, you're led by your thoughts. Now, let's start back where I started over. There's a reason I'm talking about the powers of darkness, because I told you, I've already mentioned one church, I've mentioned many of them. That the person I went into were as demonized from top to bottom. Are you hearing me? Is that serious again? I want you to get that in your mind so you know. I don't want you to think I'm starting something. I'm not starting anything. We're not making disciples for James or me here. You understand that? We're trying to find out what got started 2,000 years ago. and get in on it. Let me just go ahead and tell you something. There's only one gospel. There's only one Jesus. And you're going to have to judge now. There's only one church. And he gathered around Jesus in the Word. Now, you're going to have to judge. You know that, because that's what the Word says. Don't care what you've been told. There's just one church. All right, now. And you don't have any problem doing that when your focus is Jesus. Jesus plus something. Here's Jesus, and you have to go to here to get to Jesus. You might want to get rid of the middleman. You're in liberty and freedom. If anything can intimidate you and make you fearful, you've got an idol in your heart. You're going to be upset these 3 days if you don't deal with it. Or it's going to rise up right there and kick you right here in the heart. That thing rises up in you. I used to have it rise up in me. So I know. Grace of God set me free. I'm free. You're looking free, man. Sure, I'm free. I'm not in bondage, no man, nothing but Jesus, and getting freer and learning more about it. Learning. All right, just need to be said. Just drop it in there. All right, now, the word in Ephesians 4, now all these script, every scripture that I'm going to tell you right there is on your notes right there, okay? In Ephesians 4, it says, do not give place or opportunity to the devil. Now, we're warned about that. What about all these scriptures says, do not be deceived, do not be deceived, do not be deceived. Little children, do not be deceived. Little children, do not be deceived. That means there could be something around to deceive us. Isn't that right? Well, do not give place to the devil. I want to go through a thing right here to show you how. Just one thing. There are many, many, many things before this day is over that you can give place to the devil. You can give place to the devil while I'm reading the Word of God here if you reject it. First, you see if it's in context. And if it is, if it's here in the Word and it don't fit in your traditions and everything, you're going to have to decide whether you love your traditions more than the Word of God. Is that plain? You'll have to decide that. I'll have to decide about my motives right up here. I have to answer for me that my motives and my heart is before the Lord Jesus Christ right here in everything I say and do. See, whoops. Are deceitful. They can say one thing, a lot of stuff is going on in their heart. A lamb is not deceitful. He has everything up front. He don't have anything to hide. Just right out there on the table. Amen? And a lamb's not seeking an advantage. A lamb brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word. All right, now. We're warned, I won't turn to it in Ephesians 6, that to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, have we read about that? And I want to remind you, the Word didn't say ignore them. Said resist them, right? To stand firm against the schemes of the devil. What are the schemes of the devil? Well, you take a church that's wise in its own eyes, already arrived, they're rich, Laodicea, lukewarm, already arrived, and they don't have to listen to God about things like that. They don't have to, that part of the Bible, they're just saying, God, you missed it a mile. I'm going to tell you, there's schemes, folks. It's just tearing you. Your mind, your will. You ever see people that didn't have much of a will? You will, you see this. How the powers of darkness just beat them down. And see, folks, what I'm telling to you, what I'm going to be sharing with you these 3 days, not you have to go look up some man or come look me up or something like everything I'm sharing up. You go to the man Jesus. And you take authority. You walk out of here. You rule and reign in the name of Jesus. You've got the authority. It's in Jesus. It's in covenant Jesus. I told you, no big shots. Just one, Him. Okay. Matthew 6 told us, if you do not forgive men, then your Father is in hell not going to forgive your transgression. So I want to tell you this right here, folks. Any of you here have aught or unforgiveness in your heart. Now, I'm telling you, one of the most serious things I can tell you about being set free. And you won't choose with your will to love and forgive everyone that's ever hurt you or disappointed you. You're not going to know a lot of freedom here. Now, you might as well mark that down and write it around to deal with it. Because I'm going to tell you what, we're going to pray for the whole bunch here Friday. We're going to throw a fit. And you're going to know. You're going to be praying for yourself. You're going to be tearing down strongholds. Isn't that fun? And you're going to know it's the Word of God, and you're going to know who's doing it. It's Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. If you have any unforgiveness, the Lord won't forgive you. And if He won't forgive you, He won't set you free. And you're going to find out you're going to need some freedom the next couple of days. You're going to find it out from the Word. Okay. Now let's talk about one unforgiveness. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 2, please. 2 Corinthians 2. In 2 Corinthians 2, we're going to look in verse 10, and we're looking at the scheme of unforgiveness. Now, let me ask you something. God says forgive. Is that right? What did Satan say? Unforgiveness. They're opposite. Okay? Now, let's begin to look right here in verse 10. But whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, in order this forgiveness is for, in order that no advantage be taken of us by who? Satan, for we are not ignorant of his what? Did I tell you Satan had schemes? Now look at me. Some of you aren't looking. Satan and demons are synonymous. I'll show you later on. When you're talking about one, you're talking about the other. And they're all doing the same thing. Satan's a leader of it. You know how your thoughts used to come to your mind? You know that Satan's over in Rome this week and he might be my way. Maybe in a couple of weeks or something like that. That's not the way it is. They're around you all the time. They're looking for ground. Just scheming and deceitful. That's the reason the Word told you to take every thought captive. You're going to see this. Now, the Lord, when you come, look at me. Now, when you made covenant, you're walking in covenant with Satan, and your covenant was unforgiveness. You had a string of unforgiveness back there. You know that, don't you? I mean, that's all right to have when you're walking with Satan, to have unforgiveness. The flesh is unforgiving. But when you broke your covenant, you repented, you changed directions, you've got a new master. You now walk in forgiveness, right? Now, that is a new covenant you have to walk in forgiveness. Now, you broke the covenant of unforgiveness. Is that correct? Now, a covenant is not to analyze. A covenant is where you walk. This Word's written on your heart. That's not works to obey God. All right, now, when you come into a situation where the enemy, where you're rejected or hurt, immediately, I'm telling you every time, they're there to talk to your mind to build a case against that person. They're talking to you right there, folks. They do it all the time. All the time. If you're not taking thoughts captive, you're a mess. You're hurting. That's what I found out. That's what I see so many find out. That's why people go away here. This is why, you know, you don't have to send out advertising and everything, come to seminars and stuff like that. Most all of you here has come because somebody else told you. Of course, they other ways last week that you could have heard about it. But he's not important. I'm not trying to make any smart thing about that, folks. I'm going to tell you something. If God in His grace show you something, I want to tell you something. You can be misunderstood. You understand that? You can be misunderstood. And I want you to know that folks are not my enemy. Flesh and the devil's my enemy. And I'm not getting involved with flesh and the world. Ignorant and foolish speculation. That's a war that'll come against you. You can expect these kind of things. You're promised you're going to, that these things will come against you when you. And so you have a choice to make where you want the approval of the world and folks, or where you want the approval of God. You want to be a success in Jesus, or you want to be a success in the flesh, the world, the approval. Woe to you when all what speak well of you. Well, you be misunderstood. All of us are misunderstood. when you say and do what God does. But unforgiveness is a scheme of Satan. Now, when he begins talking to you, right here, this building his case. Now Bob here shouldn't have done that to me. See, I was in covenant with Bob a while ago, and now unforgiveness. But Bob shouldn't have done that to me. As much as I've done for Bob and so forth and everything, that's unforgiveness. And Bob has done this and this and this. You're kind of smiling. You know that sound, that song. And this begins to build up. Now, I tell you what. The Lord has told me every time that I'm rejected or disappointed, I'm to forgive whoever comes against me. Now, that is my new covenant. You know, when I change directions, I change direction. That is my new covenant. That's my new walk. That's my agreement. Jesus said, "Why you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? I've got a hedge around me as long as I do what God says." But then I can resist. I'm to resist that unforgiveness immediately. Shut it down. I can set my will against that. I don't have to receive it. If I keep listening to it, what do you think is going to happen? The unforgiveness is going to go down into my heart. And when my heart gets in agreement with what the demon's saying to me, unforgiveness and resentment, I have sinned. You see that? Not only have I sinned, I've opened the door for the powers of darkness to make war against my soul, which is my mind, will, and emotions. Are you hearing me? And then torment comes. That's how it comes to you, folks. Mercy moves you into grace. And the Lord sets you free, but doesn't set you free for your experience. You walk in it. Because everything I'm saying is a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, will you please turn with me? We're going to look. I'm going to show you how one of these schemes work. Turn with me to Matthew 18, please. Matthew 18. All right, in Matthew 18, we're still talking about unforgiveness. Now, what does the Lord say? My covenant with the Lord, immediately I forgive. That's agreement I make with the Lord. Your turn there. Look at me just a minute. Do you know why the Lord said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay? Only thing He wants us to do is love. Because, see, if I have to take vengeance, I have to take the weapons of the flesh. Are you hearing me? In other words, I'm going to have to take hate. I'm going to have to take anger. I'm going to have to take revenge. I'm going to have to take unforgiveness, resentment, violence, bitterness. You understand that? That's the reason the Lord said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. You're just free to love everybody. Well, let me tell you another thing. When I take vengeance, I'm offended in the flesh. It's supposed to be dead. Furthermore, when I'm offended, I'm not in the spirit. My heart is going toward the hurt flesh instead of toward the spirit. Dead men don't get hurt. That's a process of dying. What did he say? Whoever wishes to come after me, what do you do? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You're going to Calvary. Like it or not, you're going to walk with Jesus. You've got a will. You can give it to whoever you want to. You'll know them by their what? Okay. In verse 21, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now what's your answer? We're talking about forgiveness. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. In other words, you don't stop forgiving. Is that correct? Okay. That's from the point of the Lord. That's when you listen to the Lord. Is this His words right here? Now look at me. When you receive this word right here, you know how you eat this word? You take it to heart. Now if this is where your heart is, you take that to heart and you don't quit forgiving. You do what God says. You don't lean to your understanding. Is that right? So when the situation comes up, I know my agreement. My heart goes to the Lord. I choose against myself. And I choose God. I put up a shield of faith. This word said for me to forgive. I throw up faith. I fell faith in that word. But I suffer. Because my flesh wants to go upside his head. That's flesh. Flesh wants to kill, murder. See, it's all in there, the lust of flesh. So Satan's the one. The demons come along with the unforgiveness in every situation, all the time. See, that's the reason I tell you there's more than one behind a bush. There are plenty to go around. They're running the whole thing. All right, now in verse 23. For this reason, we're going to look at this reason. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king, and you know this being compared to King Jesus, who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded to be sold along with his wife and children, all that he had, in repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, watch what he did. He's falling down. He humbled himself, didn't he? He prostrated himself before him, before the king, saying, have patience with me and I'll repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave, the Lord who is a king, which is a type of Jesus, felt compassion, released him, and forgave him a debt. May I ask you something? Is that exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me? And that's comparison to the kingdom of heaven. Now, this man got forgiveness, isn't that right? Shake your head. He got forgiveness. Now, what does the Lord want him to do? He wants him to go out and forgive. Isn't that right? Let's see what happens to that slave. Let's see if he does that. But, 28, that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He seized him, began to choke him. Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me and I'll repay you. He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison till he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slave saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved. They came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even if I've had mercy on you? Now I want you to look at me right now, please. Please look at me. Didn't he? Is that right? All right, then. He went around and he wouldn't forgive someone else. Is that right? Now, what's this being compared to? The king and the kingdom of heaven. Is that what this parable is being compared to? Well, then he went back and reported the Lord, didn't he? All right, now, this is saying something to us right here. Let's see what this parable shows us happened to this person right there that wouldn't forgive. He wouldn't. So his Lord handed him over. Lord moved with what? Now, I want you to mark that anger. I want you to mark that anger. The Lord was moved with anger, and he handed him over to the who? Tortures, tormentors. Wonder who that is. Let me go ahead and tell you. We just call them today, okay? They handed him over to the torture, the tormentors, until he should repay everything that he owed. Now, here's a promise for you. In verse 35, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. There's a promise for you. Is that plain? Now look at me again, please. You made your covenant when you repented. You're breaking your covenant of unforgiveness, and the opposite of that is forgiveness. And your agreement right here is its word. It's there. Traditions and many things might tell you it's all right, you know, not to walk off. Oh, that's all right. Well, I'll tell you what. That's what gets your head twirled. That's what gets your children. That's what keeps you miserable. Now, let me just give you an example. Let me just show you how that works now. I want you to listen to me. Your covenant with God is forgiveness, and then you come up, and it's like Brother Bob. Bob does something to disappoint me or reject me, and immediately they came to build this case against Bob and tell me how great I am and how sorry he is. And so old flesh just gets puffed up. And so I don't resist. I listen. Are they starting another meeting? Okay. All right, look at me. Right here. And then my covenant is forgiveness. And then unforgiveness begins ministering to me. And then it talks up here. Instead of resisting it. See, it didn't say ignore it. The word didn't say ignore it. It says resist it. See, this is a scheme coming against me that the powers of darkness are going to get control of my life in an area. All right, now. So, instead of resisting, I'm kind of enjoying this thing. It's a revenge against Bob. Hate. Anger. Irritability. Unforgiveness. Resentment. You know, all these things are just attacked in my mind. And you know, I begin to listen. And you know something? As you keep listening to it, you know what happens? Those words come in. See, now those words are opposite from what? Satan has words, and God has a word. Satan ministers to the flesh, which you're supposed to be dead in. The Lord ministers to your spirit. See, this, we're supposed to build up the inner man, not bless my flesh. All right? So anyway, and then this, I just get an agreement in my heart with this thing right here. And you know what happens? I'm giving ground to the powers of darkness right then. I'm breaking covenant right there with the Lord in an area of my life. I'm not obeying the word. Because here's what I'm doing. Here's what God says. Is it with your heart you believe in the righteousness? What is righteousness? Well, righteousness is I die of the flesh and walking right in God's eyes. I'm not talking about a Baptist righteous or a Methodist righteous or a Church of God righteousness or a charismatic righteousness. I'm talking about this righteousness right here in this word. Right in God's eyes, that's what righteousness is. For with the heart man to believe in righteousness, and with the heart you believe in the unrighteousness. So he talks to me, and I let him talk. I don't resist, and I get in agreement with him. Now I want you to know that God doesn't bless ignorance. So you go ahead and do it and know the word because you listen somewhere else. Wherever you receive something from, God holds you responsible. For wherever you hold a lie, where you receive a lie, you're rejecting the truth. Now, that's how God looks at it. But here's what God sees in me, Brother Bob, when I have unforgiveness toward you, and I let this build up and my heart gets in agreement, God sees me shaking my fist in his face and saying, God, I find greater treasure in unforgiveness than I do forgiveness. And God looks down. See, that's where he's looking at your heart, folks, not the way you appearance or how much you tithe. Right here, your appearance. I mean, your heart right there. He said, well, and then so you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap what? Corruption. That's what you're going to get. That's them. And you know what happens? God sees you decide that in your heart, and then bang, you don't like my spirit of forgiveness, you can have the spirit of unforgiveness. All right, and then what happens? Here begins one family moving into an area of your life. There is just one. They say, oh, I just don't believe that. Well, why don't you get in on it and you'll believe it? Because that's exactly what's going on. And that unforgiveness will get there, and then you, when he moves in there, you are tormented, folks. Death is working in you. And so, I find myself here, everywhere I go, I'm just tormented, just tormented. And this is building more and more. And the next thing, resentment, very resentful. An unforgiving. Now here comes a family just moving into my life because my heart is making covenant with them. And then anybody that gets in unforgiveness and resentment, they become critical. Everything that moves in their life, they're critical of everything. Critical of everything. And then there is the powers of darkness. It just brings hurt feelings. It's something just going in front of you. Hurt feelings are hurt. There, and then it gets on down until there's bitterness. And when that bitterness gets there, that person will stay that way if they live to be 150 years old until they repent and change your heart and possess that land back because they move on your land. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we're God's field, we're God's land. This is a land you possess. Just like a Canaanite nation was on the land, you look up the word meanings of those Canaanite nations sometime. And you see what's on the land today. So that's torment. I'm tormented. And that's what he said. What did he promise to you right there? So shall my heavenly Father do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from where? You have to forgive right here. You don't just agree with God up here. Repentance is not agreeing with God up here. Y'all with me? Repentance is right here. Repentance better come in your heart. So, there is one root that moves in it and becomes a tree. And it'll grow into anger, hate, revenge. See, rejection is the same way. Just a root. And it goes in a tree. And it keeps building. So, as I've sinned against the Lord, And I drift over here, and I get, and more, I just let the enemy, I just become passive, and that's what we've been. Well, what do you think you're doing when you're not in a war? And then just more and more of my life gets taken over and start drifting and drifting and drifting. And he said, woe to those who call bittersweet and those who say that darkness is light. That's the same chapter that says, you go and tell these people. Go and tell them that they can't see, you don't hear, and you don't understand. And that's the same church we're talking about over in 2 Timothy 3. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's without understanding all the time. You know, you think that's what another word for it is called the famine of the word. A famine. See, the famine of the bread, you know, back. But the type of that is, we find a name, it's a famine for the word. The famine of spiritual bread. And that's where we're supposed to live with Jesus Christ, our Lord, for every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Is that correct? This is where you live, right here. Right here. That's where the spiritual man lives. So there we see, there is one scheme right there that I pointed out to you right here in the Word of God that the enemy brings against you. And I want to tell you what after that bitterness comes in, you're open for disease. See, I watch people get an unforgiveness to deal with it, repent, really change in the heart and turn, really be sorry, cry out to the Lord. Now see somebody humble like that and everything. Well, it's a wonderful thing. Just watch him go ahead and get set free. I coming in the door. Just came down here to look at this over last night. And he's CR. Or, there you are right there. Last night I just met him out here. And he just had surgery and things on his back. And just in terrible pain and things. And see, the Lord just showed me right away that this is a humble man. He's sitting right here at the front table. Louisiana, and he showed his humble. I saw his heart for the Lord, and I saw he had I saw repentance in this man. So the only thing I had to do, see the Lord just showed me how this situation had ground in him, and so I just told him, and we just repented of it right there. You don't have to get any running start or nothing. This is good, folks. See there. But see what happened right there. A man in pain, full pain, just walking down. This is as I went. I didn't have to run him down. He didn't have to run me down. We just come together. This is as you go. You do it. But you know what we did? We said, boo, devil, in Jesus' name. That didn't have to be me. It could be you. Are you understanding that? You know what happened to this man right there? The arthritis. And all the pain, all the stiffness, all the torment left his back. Now, I don't care how much power I'd... It's not my power, okay? You won't see me doing any praying for folks just very... Yeah, I just don't get a chance to. Some other folks, you know, going to pray with people, and you're going to pray for each other. But I don't want any focus made on me. He's got the power sort of thing. That's that old flesh thing. We make an idol out of somebody if God does something through them. See, that's been a problem all along. And the more we give glory to God and get away from that thing, the more we're going to see those things. That's a problem today. We're not really seeing divine healing today. Not the way, you know, the Word talks about it, because I'm telling you why. It's the fact we're so out of fellowship with the Lord. And that's how... And, you know, James, you know, was in Nashville and saw this person been blind for 40 years and all of a sudden opened their eyes and things like that. Well, see, that's, you don't see it everyone you pray for and everything. And it's, but see, we're learning that. You know, and I'll tell you something, if you pray for somebody and don't get healed, you can get hanged. Don't never die trusting God, whatever you do. Trust doctors dying, but don't never trust God and die. Okay, so there is one, hey, by the way, another thing, this morning he sat down on his glasses and he said, I don't need them anyway, and the Lord healed his eyes, didn't he? I'll be glad to heal his mind, brother. All right. I've been dying twice and he'd healed me, but I hadn't got around to this. Everybody knows some here? You probably have, haven't you? I don't have to use them. I got a giant print Bible. That goes to show you right there, I don't know everything, do I? Huh? That's the biggest mystery to me, anything I ever saw, is eyes being healed. I can just deal with any number of things. I took these glasses one time, and I just, not these. Took a pair, and I tell you what, I was the presence of God around them. I said, you said I'm healed. And I took those glasses, and I'm telling you twice, I know I was dying, and the Lord healed me. And I took those glasses, and I threw them over in a waistband. And about 2 days later, I was wanting to read my Bible. And I dug these things out, and one glass was going out of them. Y'all just seen them. Hey, you're faking it. If you don't know, say you don't know. You don't have to prove nothing, do we? Just walk in what light you have. Maybe I'll learn something from one of you. I tell you what, I believe diet has a whole lot to do with what I believe that gives ground, because I've seen people have their eyes healed and go right back. And I strongly suspicion that blood sugar and these kind of things, over excessive sugar and these kind of things, and possibly caffeine, you noticed what you got when you came in this morning. All right, now, if you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Corinthians 10, please. I want you to look at me here. When you get there, I want you to look at me. I want to explain something to you that's going to be very helpful to you, I believe. All right, now. Everybody together, look. For 43 years, all my decision was made on what I see, smell, taste, hear, and feel. All my decisions were made for my carton. For 43 years, I looked out after my carton. I walked after the lust of the flesh. And then I walked after the natural. That's the natural. I went by what I see, smell, taste, hear, and feel. And then I came to a place where I receive a new master. I stepped out of the natural into the spiritual when Jesus Christ became my Lord. I immediately was born again. I was born out of the flesh into the spiritual realm. Natural realm into the spiritual realm. You follow me? And now in this spiritual realm, I was 43 years old. Wouldn't care matter if I was 143 as a brand new baby. Now I'm walking. When I was over here, I walked after the flesh. But I'm moving in this spiritual realm. I'm still tied to this flesh. I walk in it. But I don't walk after it. Now, I become at this moment, when I step out of this natural, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. Die. I'm no longer conformed to this world. I no longer walk, talk, and act like the world. But I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I'll not only know but prove what is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God, because I'm living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, because I'm living in the spiritual realm, because immediately I was seated at the right hand throne of God, and that scares the devil to death when you know that. I'm in Jesus at the right hand throne of God. I'm walking in this flesh, suffering in this flesh. But I'm right now seated at the right hand throne of God, and I rule and reign in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Led by the Spirit of God. I'm not under the law. I'm free. I'm not in bondage to anything except the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm dying to this flesh. Now, in this spiritual realm, I war differently. Now, back here, I had violence, hate, anger, murder, all these things come out of my flesh. Resentment, unforgiveness, revenge. Just on and on come at this way. This was my weapons. This is why the Lord said, I'll take over revenge now. Revenge is mine. Vengeance is mine. And so when I step over here, I get a new set of weapons. They're spiritual weapons. I don't war anymore after the flesh. I don't even recognize anybody after the flesh. Everybody's one. And the one that's the least is the greatest. In the world, it's the opposite. The one exalts himself the greatest. So in this spiritual realm, I received all the weapons of Jesus. All my enemies have become his enemies. All his enemies become my enemies. Every weapon he has is mine. Now we're warned about, do you remember over in, when we read in Romans 13:14, says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Now later on I'm going to take it and I'm going to show you how you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Ephesians 6. That's what you go ahead and all of this armor. Put it all on. Don't just pick and choose. So it said, put it on all that you might be able to stand against the what? The wiles and schemes of the devil. Now who wants to go around being tormented? If you and Jesus Christ are going to be one, you and God are going to be one, he's got some conditions for you to go there. The devil likes you to figure out some other different ways. You're going to walk, talk, and act like Jesus if you're one. All right, now we're going to look at this new walk. Now, see, I was over here, and I warred and everything out of the flesh. I was a puppet. I was controlled by the powers of darkness. They told me when to get angry. They told me, all they have to do is just suggest it to my mind, and I've just done it. They put, you know, this spirit comes on you, folks, and things like that. I'm going to tell you in Jesus' name that when you find out that you don't even have to receive fear, you can say, your will is stronger than any demon. Let me just go ahead and share this with you for the record right here, something might be kind of stirred up, you be afraid or something like that. Not one demon does anything against the will of God. Now, I want you to know that we've been programmed to fear the powers of darkness. It's the opposite. You fear in God. You fear in God to recognize that that's really recognizing who he is. And you fear your earthly father? Is that correct? You loved him, though, didn't you? Fearing God is just recognizing who he is. Fearing God is recognizing the judgment of God and recognizing who he is. He says what he means and means what he says. So now, having died to the flesh, I walk in a different realm. I walk in the spiritual realm, but I'm tied to this flesh. As I'm tied to this flesh wants to war against the spiritual realm. Want to keep me in back there. This is why we're getting what we see right here. In 2 Corinthians 10, please, look with me in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't walk after the flesh, you walk in the flesh. Amen? We do not, what's that word? War. Now we're talking about a war. This is serious. This is more serious than Russia, okay? We just go ahead and just understand that this is eternal things right here. I want you to know that this war is a lot more serious than Russia. Now if you live in the flesh and you're concerned about your carton, then you're just going to just go ahead and be afraid of Russia, whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, this war right here, this spiritual war, you've got an enemy that's killing you, destroying you, stealing from you every day. Every day. And it's a process. It's like rottenness. It's like a moth eaten away. Now, we do not war according to the flesh. Is that what he says? You're fighting a new battle, and you're fighting a new way. You're going to fight it in a spiritual way. Now, the problem is if people move in, they can move in the spiritual, and they're still going to war after the flesh. You do not war after the flesh, the anger, and all these things after the flesh. Are you understanding that? Now, let's go to the next verse. For the weapons. Now, we have to have weapons in this war. Isn't that right? All right. I want you to circle weapons. The weapons of our warfare. It's talking about the weapons of our warfare. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks, right now. It's a lot better to do this right here, what it says, than analyze it. If you've just been taught to analyze something instead of doing it, I suggest right now you eat these words right here and take them to heart. Because I want to tell you again that you've got an enemy killing, stealing, and destroying you. And until you start dealing with it, your children are wide open. All right, now, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not of the flesh, but what? They're the divinely powerful for the destruction of what? Fortresses. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a fortress. Look at me. A fortress could be unforgiveness. A fortress could be... Let me tell you something. I've had people come to me about suicide. Now, let me show you something. I know just exactly how to deal. I know how the powers of darkness get people to commit suicide. I can go right to it. Bang, 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 bang. Someone wants to be humble, as this man was right here. If he wants to really believe that Jesus was to heal him, he's not going to believe that. Yeah, he'd do it for somebody else. He won't do it for me. Well, then when you believe all that, you're not going to get nothing. That's unbelief. He no respecter of people does. But when I this was a fortress in Himron. But we use the Lord's word to tear it down. And he's free. Now let me just show you something. Let's take suicide. When I know that when somebody has been about to commit suicide, I know all these things have happened to them. I know in the first place that this person has been suffered rejection and disappointment. And he's listened to it. See, you don't know if you're not taught not to win. We hadn't known a lot about that. If you're taught not to listen to all this stuff, to take every thought captive, then you listen to this, and then after this disappointment rejection, he got angry. Anger, irritation, maybe even hate and murder in his heart, but he was angry for sure. And this person, next thing that the power, these are different powers of darkness, they come into him. The next thing, he got unforgiveness and resentment in his heart. And if you know somebody, many of you, show, hold up your hand, anybody that you know real close that's had a problem with suicide or something, just hold up your hand. All right, now you're going to recognize these things that I'm telling you right here. Now, I want you just apply this in their life right there. See, when you have understanding, you can go and deal with it. You can go deal with them. You hear me? But you can't have understanding if you're scared to talk about it. If you're intimidated or fearful, where's that intimidation and fear come from? The powers of darkness. They're the ones that do that. Now let me tell you. All right, now we got the rejection. We got the disappointment. Then he become angry. Then the next thing, it was unforgiveness and resentment. And then the next thing, self-pity. And the person begins just feeling sorry. And they're talking to him, getting pity. Self-pity. 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 And the person goes around. See, self-pity is pride. I, me, myself. My carton. Self-pity. And then the next step is depression. Depression comes after self-pity. And many of you had depression on you, got it on you right now. I'm telling you how you're going to be free. I mean, you're going to be free in Jesus' name if you want to be able to repent all these things. Don't repent up here, repent in your heart. You're going to be free. It's going to be good to be free, not have depression. You know, people get depression and crawl under beds and lock themselves up. Terrible. All this pressure and depression come on, and then, when I, you know, it gets to a certain point, the depression, then it comes and start whispering to you, suicide comes. You know, don't destroy yourself. You don't get the gun. Just thought. And little old self-pity and suicide just tell you how they show you the mess, your garden. Are you hearing me, folks? They show you a little column in the paper, how you look and how people will see that, boy. And that little old self-pity and suicide will talk to you there. You know, I had a lady in my Sunday school class. Her and her husband, they had a disagreement, and I knew the answer for her. She couldn't hear me. You know what she did? She goes to the banner. That's the newspaper there. And she talks to the editor. And she writes a letter. And she wants all the deacons to be her pallbearers. Instead of giving her flowers, just put it on the building fund. Isn't that noble? And she just went up there in the parking lot in the hospital where he wouldn't have to care for her for her ambulance. And that just like the devil? And just shot her brains out. And I watched that pastor walk over to a rose at the end of his sermon. Everybody's crying. You know, demons like funerals. They do. They talk to folks a lot there. And he picked that rose off and said, God just came down and just picked the rose off like that. Broke my heart. Because That was my part. I knew what picked the rose off. I was in the same Sunday school place with him, couldn't hear me. See, she couldn't hear me because she's been taught that everything you hear in the Bible has to come through a middleman. Now, folks, someone with suicide, if they want to humble himself and cry out the Lord and everything, can be free. Depression, whatever. Now, is that good? But I'm still working on this. Is it all right if I don't know everything? The devil tells me to try to keep them in my pocket. I got my giant print Bible. I don't have to know everything. Do we have to know everything? But I tell you what. I think back in 1980, some of these things we went through, and I just laugh. I laugh at things in 81 and it did. I laugh at things in 82 and it did. I'm laughing at some of the things doing in 83. I think I'll be laughing next year what I'm doing, but I keep learning. Because, see, you don't have to figure, don't be like the Pharisees and have to figure it all out before you get walking a light as he is in the light. Amen? Just walk on what light you have. And we're going to learn from one another. It's just all him anyway, isn't that right? Okay. So now we're in verse 5. I think I'll read this verse without my glasses. So our weapons are mighty in God to tear down these fortresses. Is that right? All right, now, in verse 5, we are destroying speculation. All right, now look at me. Speculation is that stuff that comes against your mind or speaks to you from whatever source it comes from that's against the Word of God. Now, we're going to just arguments, every argument. I think the King James tells you that we're going to cast down arguments. And every lofty thing or argument. Our argument comes against the Word of God. You know, we've developed theology today that God can't do anything. You want me to say that again? We developed theology that God can't do anything. You know why? Because man's been the center of church and been getting God's glory. A lot of things been getting the glory of God. Now, I'm not saying that to be smart or cute or hurt anybody or anything. Now, don't you let something say, well, there he goes. I'm telling you why whole churches are demonized. I'm telling you. Deceitful spirits can deceive you and me. And they have. They really have. But we're destroying speculation and every lofty thing, thought, argument that's raised up against what? The Word of God? Did you? Hey, look at me. Did your Bible in your table and your lap right there say it? That we're destroying speculation and every argument and thought that exalts itself against the Word of God? May I ask you something? Is that what was that put in here for somebody to vote on and pass judgment on to analyze or speculate about or do? Why is it? Why did he put it in there? Because you're in a war with the enemy. It's killing you, destroying you, and distilling every relationship in your home, in the church congregation that you're in, where you work, on either side of your house, all over this world. They're doing it continuously. And they laugh gleefully. They bounce off the walls, brother. They gleefully join. They make you stumble and hurt you and steal relationships and destroy. All right, now the next part. And we now, we're in the spiritual realm. Here's how you walk. You're taking every thought what? May I ask you something? Look at me again. Now, when you get to be teacher, we'll do it your way. You take every thought captive to the obedience of this Word. Isn't that right? Is that what your Bible said? It's in there, isn't it? Has it passed away? No. Did God put it in there? He's talking about a war. He's talking about a warfare. That you've got a new war. You're walking in a new realm. You're walking in the flesh, but you're not walking out of the flesh. You no longer get angry. We've been trying to war against the devil out of the flesh. That's a joke. He laughs at you. You're going to get angry at the devil. Who do you think is stirring up you to be angry at the devil? Well, you know, you're going to be angry today. We're going to hate the devil. I didn't mean it was a good choice there anyway. But see, are you seeing that when you don't take thoughts captive, what the Word says right here, you're a very deceived person. You know that? You and me both. All right, now, that's how we're going to learn. This is how the war comes against your soul. Now, what is your soul? your mind. They war against your mind when you don't walk. You don't have the protective hedge of God when you won't walk in His covenant. Amen. And we'll see that's how the hedge is removed. An enemy comes in. Okay. So I've got a new war. Now look here, I started out over here in the flesh. I used to war after the flesh. Anger, murder, revenge, unforgiveness, resentment. Now I've changed directions, right? And now over here, I've got a new master and I've got a new war. I'm in the spiritual realm. And my weapons now are mighty in God. And Ephesians 6, it tells me how to put them all on. See, there is more to it, and greater is He that's in me than he in the world. Now, that's right. That part is right, but there are more in the Word besides that. Amen? Any more to do? Okay. Now, let me ask you something. When I resist the devil, when I resist unforgiveness, what do you think's happening? I suffer in the flesh, don't I? Here, I'm choosing. Bob, you've hurt me. You've disappointed me. Very disappointed. And right here in this enemy's building, and my flesh wants to come against you. The lust of the flesh wants to come against you. But I know my covenant. Immediately, I resist this. And I choose with my will. I say, God, I choose with my will to line up with this Word. And your Word says in Hebrews 4 that I can come to your throne of grace. And I can receive help in time of need. I sure do need some help. And from your throne, Lord, right now, I line up with your Word to receive love and forgiveness. Now right now, in Jesus' name, love and forgiveness is flowing through me to Bob. And bang, it happens. Because you know what happens then? You're hurting in the flesh. You're suffering in the flesh. I'm certain my flesh wants to come against Bob. But right then, that's when the Comforter goes to work. When I resisted the devil, I didn't ignore him. I resisted that unforgiveness and resentment toward Bob. And I choose my will to suffer in flesh from what God said this time instead of this. He sees this. I'm reaching up around my father's neck. And I'm saying, Lord, Father, I love you more than I do myself. Are you hearing me? I've got my arms around his neck and I love you. And that's what loosed the Comforter to work on him, because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. I overcame this victory by the blood of the Lamb, which is a victory at Calvary. By the word of my testimony, I say what God says. I put up the shield of faith. That's the word of your testimony. Amen. And I love not my heart unto death. Are you hearing me? Where are you living at? Let me ask you where your heart is. You'll find a lot of things to repent about as you go through the Word. I suggest, really, that you do it. I'm going to tell you the ones that have a repentant heart here. I'm going to tell you what you're just going to almost run through a wall here Friday. The Lord is going to set you so free. You're going to be so free, folks. Your head's going to feel like it's out here somewhere. It's just so much pressure going to come off of it. Could you stand a little bit? If you think that pressure's not there, just keep following the Word. He sent His Word to heal you. All right, now, there is the war. What did you talk about grain of wheat? That's over in John 12. We won't turn now. Don't turn now. I'm not going to tell you where. We'll be gone before you get there. But over in John 12, it talks about that the grain of wheat dies. It won't bear fruit, will it? In other words, what is a grain of wheat? The outer, look at me. Look at me, you're going to miss it. Don't nobody take any pictures. All right, one. But you die to your carton. This outer has to die before the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, peace. These things come from Jesus and they come from your inner man. Is that correct? Unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, or if it falls in the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. That's how you bear much fruit. Die to this. Now, I want to show you. Now, when I chose right here, now listen very carefully, you're going to miss one important thing right here. When I chose with my will to not have unforgiveness, and I chose with my will to line up with God, I didn't sin, did I? Did I? I didn't sin. But if I've chose not to line up with God, I would have sinned. Is that right? Now, turn with me to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4. Now, here we are in verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the what? Christ suffered in the flesh. Will you please mark that at Christ suffered in the flesh? Arm yourselves also with the what? You have the same purpose as Christ who suffered in the flesh. Is that right? All right, now the next part. Because he who has suffered in the flesh, what has he done? He has ceased from sin. Do you see that? Look at me, folks. See, if you don't understand that, you'll never sin against the powers of darkness, and they'll have you continually in sin. When they have you continually in sin, they'll turn you all to pieces, your mind, your will, and your emotions, besides coming against your body. Are you hearing me now? See, because I suffered in the flesh when I forgave Bob, but I ceased from sin. That's why the Lord says, take every thought captive. Now, let's look at the next part right there, verse 2. So as I don't live the rest of the time in the flesh, I don't live it. No longer, I want you to mark no longer, no longer for the what? I don't live no longer for the lust of the flesh, the lust of man. I no longer live there. Is that what your Bible says? I can't hear you. It said, I no longer live for the lust of the flesh, but what I live for. Or is that will of God? Does that mean to be a doer of the word or to analyze it? All right, now let me ask you something. Is it possible that if you have an enemy as stronger than you are and smarter than you are, and you've been ignoring him, is it just possible that you might not have been smart enough that he might have created a lot of inroads in theology? And many other things. What do you think he's been doing while he's been ignored? Let me ask you something. What have you been doing in your life while you've been ignoring him? The Bible didn't say ignore him. Where'd you get that? So if you and I have ignored him, we come back here, it looks like we got some ground to possess. Or we can do like the world and hang in there. Right? Now, folks, I'm getting to see people set free. It's a precious thing. See this man up here smiling and everything. And I know I got in on it. I didn't set him free. I got in on it, too. I just grieved the Word and grieved the Lord. So did he. So can you. You. Remember, you got the big Jesus. Now, if you got the little Jesus, you'll never be able to do it. You don't even read your Bible if you got a little Jesus. Unfortunately, a lot of people are convinced that you have to speak Hebrew or Greek before you can understand what God says. Either you can read it in Hebrew or Greek, or you can read it in the Holy Ghost. God can talk to you, folks. He can tell you what page to turn to. Make it real easy. If you miss is or are coming out with it, that don't change God, does it? All right, now look here. I suffer in the flesh. I cease from sin because I walk. I suffer in the flesh like the Lord suffered in the flesh. I no longer live for the lust of the flesh. That, what did it say a while ago? You put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no more provision for the lust of the flesh. But now, I live no longer for the lust of the flesh, but for the what? The will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? You can always know what the will of God is. Will is His Word. I want you to know the Spirit and the Word agree, and the Spirit will tell you what is in this Word. You're led by the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit just told you that you make no provision for the lust of the flesh. None. All right, now, turn with me to Romans 8, and we'll see that this is what the sons of God do. You ever wonder what a son of God does? In Romans 8, now, let me just begin this way. I'm going to put an extra verse in here, verse 1. I was going to start in 4, but I'm going to start 1. Now, let me just share something with you. Was Adam walking in the image and likeness of God? Look at me. Was Adam walking in the image and likeness of God? Do you remember that when he ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil? That immediately, you know, he was so innocent of evil that they walked around naked, didn't they? But immediately, when he sinned, what came on him? Guilt. He's guilty. He had to run and hide and get some clothes put on, didn't he? All right, now, when we move back in out from under the law into the grace of God through His mercy, there is no more supposed to be guilt or condemnation in your life. Now, if you or I receive it, it's because we choose to. God made a provision that it wouldn't be. All right, now I want to see that in the first verse. Now, see, that's just opposite from where Adam, we're hiding and all this business with guilt and so forth in Adam. But then we move out of Adam and into Christ, there's no more guilt. We're back where Adam was to begin with. Is that correct? All right, now, in verse 1, I usually start on verse 4, but I'm going to add verse 1 right there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Now, I will show you later on in 1 John 2 that those who are in Christ Jesus are walking after the will of God, obeying the commandments of God, if you're in Christ Jesus. Or if you're in Christ Jesus, where are you walking out with the devil? You know, a lot of people, you know, we teach that they're righteous when they're walking in agreement with the devil. They have no fruit. You know, when something's born again, it has life in it. It's hungry, isn't it? When something's born, same thing in the spiritual realm. Brother, when something's born into the spiritual realm, it's hungry and it has life. You see some scriptural evidence. And it's not righteous because it belongs to some church or some congregation. You're righteous because you're walking righteous and you have the Spirit of God in you. Jesus Christ is your Lord. Now, verse 4. But I'm going to look at verse 2. I'm going to drop back up there. I added just another one. For the law of the Spirit. Now, that's the law of the Spirit, walking after the Spirit of God, of life in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the what? It set you free from the law of sin and death. And see, that's where I am when I was walking over earth. It sets me free from all that. So I don't continue walking after it. Let's go in verse 4. In order that the requirement of the law, this word, is fulfilled in us who walk which way? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk a what? All right, now, what do you just see right here? That people who are led by the Spirit of God fulfill the law. I mean, the law is fulfilling them. Because what's the Spirit of God going to tell them? The Spirit of God's going to tell you except what's in the Word. Is that right? You love your neighbors yourself. Now, it's not fulfilled in those who are walking out of the flesh, is it? Look at verse 5. For those who are, that's who are walking according to the flesh. Now, what if you're walking according to the flesh, look at me. What are you walking according to? If you're walking according to the flesh, you're walking according to pride, anger. You're walking according to all the things that Satan is. Is that right? Is that it? I don't want to be sneaky. Is that what it is? Okay. See, there's a lot more to it than quit drinking, smoking, chewing, and cussing, isn't it? All right, now, for those that are walking according to the flesh, they set their minds on what? That's where the mind is. That's where your heart is, the things of the flesh, see? Your mind's not taking every thought captive for spiritual things. Your mind's not set on heavenly things, is it? For those who walk according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those that's walking according to the Spirit, they set their minds on what? That's where your mind is. So where's your heart? Now, are you living for the flesh or are you living for the Spirit? Where's your heart? Now, verse 5. For those who are walking... That's where it was, wasn't it? No, he's going... Verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is what? Now, are you seeing how death can work in you? See, there's a lot of ministry of death today in the name of Jesus. It'll minister death to you. It'll minister condemnation and guilt and fear and these kind of things on you. Ain't no life in it. All done in the name of Jesus. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, there's a difference. Now, the walk in the Spirit is peace and life. Now, that is the walk of peace. That's the only place you're going to find it. Dying to putting to death the flesh. As long as you're living an overcoming life and putting to death the flesh, I'm going to tell you what, there's a hedge around you, folks. Those angels, mighty in strength, are watching over this word to perform it. And for those inheriting salvation and walking after this word, I'm going to tell you what. There, God is in control of things. You know, God hadn't lost control to Satan, right? We're not talking about the powers of how much power Satan... Don't never let your mouth talk about how strong some demon is or how strong the devil is. You've got the wrong confession. Now, verse 7, the mind set on the flesh, that's a bunch of folks that want to come to the Lord after the flesh, and this happens a lot, unfortunately. The mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the Word of God. It's not even able to do so. Are you hearing me? Now, let me look at that right there. You're not able to follow God after the flesh. Forget it. You have to die of the flesh. Now, let me tell you once again, the flesh wants to come here, and it wants to take this, and then when it runs into something there that kind of talks about flesh dying and all these kind of things, well, although demons kind of send you a little dart up there and say, well, if that were so, Billy Johnson would know that. In other words, what they're saying, hath God really said? Hath God really said? Yeah, it's right there. If that were so, Dr. So-and-so would know that. Let me just tell you something. Dr. So-and-so is not Lord. Billy So-and-so is not Lord. Milt Green's not Lord. All right, now who are you letting lead you in all truth? Milt Green? Dr. So-and-so? Billy Brown? All right, let me ask you something. How can Jesus lead you into all truth like He said He would? If your heart goes toward Dr. Brown to lead you in all truth. Are you hearing me? About 400 people ought to got set free right then. There's one. Folks, let me tell you something honestly. Now, I'm real serious about what I'm doing. If some things come out like I'm being cute or smart or something like that, I want you to know I'm dead serious about what I'm doing here, okay? I want us to have a good time. We're going to have some fun. But I want you to know that I'm real serious about what we're doing here. And any of the illustration and things right now, I want you to know that I'm not attacking people anywhere. I'm not attacking any people. I want to tell you something. The grace of God, I know just a little. Is that clear? And I hurt for people that don't know my part. I've just got a part. I hurt for them. Oh, I hurt for them. I really do. My war's with the devil and the flesh, okay? And this world system. Okay. Now, verse 8, for those who are what? In the flesh cannot please God. However, verse 9, You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're not in the flesh, but in your spirit. Is that what your Bible says? Huh? You know, it's beginning to sound like there's more to it than saying some words, isn't it? Well, I mean, we say the words, but see, what I'm trying to say to that, it's with the heart man believes in righteousness. You say it in your mouth, but you believe it in your heart. Okay. Have you not in the spirit, flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you? But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, we're going to look and see who the sons of God are in verse 13. For if you are living according to the what? That's where you're living at. You reckon those Laodicea, lukewarm folks was there? They already rich, already arrived. I'm increased in wealth and good, huh? They already arrived. God said he's poor. God said he's going to spit them out of his mouth. Didn't he? If you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if you're living by the Spirit, here's what you're doing. Are we supposed to be living by the Spirit? I understand over if I read right correctly in verse 4, if I'm not living by the Spirit, I'm walking under the law, right? Huh? Well, let's see right here. If you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if you're living by the Spirit, here's what you're doing. You're putting to death the deeds of the body of the flesh, you will live. May I ask you something? Did it say if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're putting to death the deeds of the flesh? Is that what your Bible says? Huh? Well, let's look at the next verse. For all who've been led by the Spirit of God, these are the ones that's what? Now I want you to look at me. Did your Bible just say right here, this Bible you have in front of you, that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, put to death the deeds of the flesh? Is that what sons of God did? Did it say they're not walking out of the flesh? Is that what your Bible said? Did somebody come back and write a new Bible? You're going to receive it? See, it's all lining up. But hey, we're just getting started. This is just first day. We got a few more scripture left, haven't we? Right? There's a bunch. Now see, I want you to, when you see these things in the Word, I want you to start receiving them. Okay.
This concludes tape number 2. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 3, where this message continues.